You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. Time for Amanda Hall Psychic with Amanda Hall. Live from AmandaHallPsychic.com.au. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, Facebook.com/Psychic Radio.
Or one of our websites,
AskOneRadio.com or Moonstruck.tv. This is Amanda the Hall Psych on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Welcome to A1R Psychic Radio here on Moonstruck TV with Amanda Hall Psychic all the way from the Gold Coast. Well, the festive season is in full swing. Here in Australia, we affectionately call it the silly season. So, you know, you might have a little saying that you sort of use locally for talking about, you know, as we head towards Santa Claus coming to town. And isn't it an exciting time of the year? The children get grumpy and excited and everything else, you know, as we wind down and we get closer to the 25th of December. And it really is a magical, exciting time of the year. So if you have little children around, please be patient with them because it is such a magical time for them. And the time goes so quickly, you know, that we talk about time flying, and it does certainly fly. So enjoy and soak up all those wonderful memories of little children and their wonder and their excitement and, you know, threatening them that if they don't behave themselves that they'll go on the naughty list, all those sort of things, because they fly by ever so quickly. So the Simply Tarot card of the week this week is called the Three of Wands. Now, the Three of Wands is travel over land. Now, many people will be traveling at this time of the year as we sort of head towards spending time with loved ones and relatives and people that are really important to us. And it's important that we make sure that our travel plans are in place. Now, the reason I'm talking about that, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show with Mercury retrograde. So you've got to make sure that you're leaving plenty of time with a Mercury retrograde. And we're also, it's a time when most of us are surveying our kingdom. Now, I think this is a very appropriate card to come out at this time of the year, because as the year is winding to a close, we sit there and we look at what we had in our New Year's resolution list that only seemed like yesterday. What can we tick off? What did we change? What did we modify? What did we say that, oh, well, that was important on January 1, but it wasn't necessarily important as we got to June 1. So there's lots of things, lots of ways of sort of reminiscing, looking at what we've achieved and what maybe we can put on the list for next year. It's a time to look at our achievements, and I think not to be too tough on ourselves, as a lot of us are. We are too tough on ourselves about the things that we didn't achieve. I think if we're all still breathing and we're all still managing to get through life, that's a major accomplishment this day and age. And don't be too tough on yourself if you didn't buy that brand new car or, you know, get the new toaster or the new house or whatever you wanted. You're still alive. You've still got friends. You've still got family. So you've achieved everything that you set out to do for 2024. Astrologically, it's still a very busy time of the year. I don't know that any time that isn't busy astrologically, but there's times where we have more planets that are going retrograde than we actually seem like that are going forward. And this is one of those times, and I won't even have enough time in this segment to talk about every single retrograde planet, because approximately half of them are going retrograde at the moment. So I've picked the eyes out of what I think is an important forecast that will wash over all the 12 signs for the next week. So the sun's still in Sagittarius. Happy birthday to all the fellow Saggies. Yes, my birthday's coming up and I'm not going to tell you what day, but it is soon. And it's a really magical time of the year. And I suppose it's one of the reasons why I love Christmas so much. It's my birthday month and everything sort of gears up to a really exciting time. And here in Australia, with it being so hot, you know, it's storm season for us. It's hot. It's humid. Everybody heads to the shopping centre to get in the aircon if you don't have it at home, or you head to the beach or whatever. But it is a magical time of the year. And I know our friends overseas that have, you know, white Christmases. I just adore sitting down and watching a Christmas movie and looking at the snow and the magnificent decorations and all out that you go there. We just don't quite celebrate Christmas the same way here. But anyway, happy birthday, Sagittarians. Mercury, the planet of communication, is also sitting in Sagittarius at the moment, but Mercury is retrograde. Now, this is the one that can disrupt travel plans. Mercury retrograde means people don't have their listening ears on. It's the time when the cell phone breaks down, your laptop, anything that's connected to communication. So you need to factor in some extra time. So if you're going to an airport or a bus station or you're going to catch a train, make sure that you allow for extra time for sort of luggage not getting checked in time, you being late in the queue or the queue not moving fast enough or the computer breaking down at the check-in counter, so that you've got ample time that you don't become stressed and that you can sort of, you know, make your travels very, very safe. So it's something that we can't sort of ignore. Mercury will still be retrograde until the 16th of this month. So you've got to allow a sort of a day or two past that before Mercury sort of rams up again and really goes forward in a full throttle. So just be aware of that. So if you've got any travel plans, even if you're just going to the grocery store, make sure you leave in plenty of time. We have a new retrograde that's going to take us through till the end of February. And this is Mars. Mars is sitting in Leo at the moment. So yes, it's going to affect most of the fire signs, which is Leo, Sagittarius and Aries, and the opposite sign of Aquarius. But it's also going to wash over the other remaining signs. Now, Mars is the planet of action. It's the planet that gets us out of bed. It's where our ego, our drive comes from, our determination, and even where our anger or aggression comes from. So with Mars going retrograde, it's going to be a time where we're going to have pockets of feeling quite listless, where we've got literally no energy. We've really got to drag ourselves around and sort of motivate ourselves to get up and get out there and do something. Then there'll be other bursts where we've got overcompensation of Mars, where we've got that much energy that we can't sit still. It's like we're, you know, on a sugar high. And we really do need to pace ourselves, because if we go ridiculous at those times, the next day and the day after and the day after that, we'll be in one of those slumps where we literally have no energy whatsoever. So Mars is also asking us, this is not the time to sort of bring up the family arguments or bring up things that, you know, that could upset somebody or end up causing an argument, because even though you might have the best of intentions and you've rehearsed it and you know exactly what you're going to say and you want to get it off your chest and you want to get it off your chest before the end of the year, I'm going to suggest to you err on the side of caution. This is really not the time to bring it up. And particularly with the Mercury retrograde, people won't be listening and people will take offence to what you've said. So it's a double whammy here. So just be very careful of that. Mars retrograde is until late in February. So it's not something that, you know, we can say is over in a day or two. It is going to affect us for quite some time. And it's only just started. It's only been a few days into it. So this might explain if you've been having trouble with your energy in the last 4 or 5 days, that it's been up and down and all over the place. This is the starting effects of the Mars retrograde. And it's not something to be feared. It's just work with the energy and don't sort of overcompensate. If you've got so much energy, then pace yourself, you know, have a little rest, have a little sit down, have a cup of coffee, go and have a chat, do something and then come back to it. Don't sort of burn through it, you know, 9,000 miles an hour. We've got to take our time. Chiron is not a planet, but it's one of the Arabian parts, is coming to a close at the end of this month in Aries. And the reason why I'm bringing it up again is that I know lots of my Aries clients and family and friends and that have been really feeling the effect of Chiron. Chiron's been asking them to deal with their past. It's been asking them to look at everything under a microscope, whether it's your health, whether it's the way you deal with things, whether it's your job, whether it's just even your thinking. It's asking you to heal things from the past. Now, a lot of these things from the past are karmic and have been brought in by past lives, but we've got to deal with them in this lifetime. It's sort of saying it's urgent now. So if you've been avoiding going to the doctor or avoiding dealing with something, now's the time to do it before Chiron sort of moves out of Aries in the end of this month, because once it moves out, you won't have the same opportunity to get the same healing benefit and to be able to move forward. Now, Chiron at the moment is conjunct or holding hands the moon. So, yes, this is affecting Aries, but it's also affecting the other fire signs, which is Sagittarius, Leo, and the opposite sign of Libra. So what Chiron's role here is to do is to drag up emotional stuff, is to drag up things from the past, things that maybe we thought we'd healed and we haven't really healed. We just put them away. We put them on the shelf and sort of said, we'll deal with that later. Now's the time we've got to deal with it. So if you're any one of those four signs, and it has flowed on to the remaining signs as well, you might be asking yourself, why have I been having these flashbacks to things of my past, things that have, you know, might be very important and some things might be absolutely useless. And you think, why is that coming back into my mind now? Well, this is Chiron's way of making you deal with this, of looking at it, healing it, and moving it on. And it might be as fast as going slide, slide, slide on your cell phone that these memories or these thought patterns are coming back into your mind. But be aware, we need to empty these. We need to move them along. So in the next 48 hours, we may have more emotional attachment to some of these things, and we don't understand why that we've been sort of transported back to how we actually felt when this situation happened. And it's like it's very real. It's like it's happening now. Just be aware with that. Work with the energy. Don't fight it. Go along with it, release it, and sort of say to yourself, well, thank you, I'm pleased I dealt with that. That, you know, frees up more space for new things that are coming into my life in 2025. We have Pluto, the planet of transformation, as we know, has just entered Aquarius. It's going to be there for a very, very long time. So we need to sort of start understanding the energy of Pluto. Now, look, I've read lots of work of lots of different astrologers, and everybody has sort of a very similar view, but lots of people have different views as well. So it's a bit of a mixed bag. Pluto is the planet of transformation, slow, deliberate, definite lessons. You don't forget the lessons of Pluto, and Pluto works slower than a snail's pace. Now, with Pluto sitting in Aquarius, there's lots of schools of thought of how this is going to transpire from, you know, things like the world's going to rebalance itself with its finances, and those that are rich are not going to be quite as rich, and those that are poor are going to be richer. I'm not sure that I totally lean into that belief system, but I'm going to say to you, anything is possible, because the Aquarian energy is about love received. So it's about the love that we all receive, not necessarily the love we give to somebody else. So the Aquarian energy is also about innovation, things that are different, thinking outside the square, being motivated. But it can also be about sort of being almost cold, or so it seems, on an emotional front, that they don't get emotional. They do get emotional, they just don't wear it on their sleeves. They sort of do it in a very sort of nondescript, sort of like almost emotionally shut down manner. So this is where we're going to find, no matter what your star sign is, you might have pockets of this and pockets of this feeling, and you wonder why all of a sudden something that used to really affect you and you used to get emotional about, it's like, oh, I just shrug my shoulders and say, oh, well, so what? It's that influence of the Aquarian energy. Now, Pluto is actually conjunct or holding hands with Venus, the planet of love and affection, at the moment. So doesn't matter what your star sign is, if you are seeking love over this festive season, I'm going to suggest to you that you step out of your comfort zone, you go to places that you normally wouldn't go, do something different, you know, sort of, you know, make sure that, you know, if you're going to go out, have some fun, dress up in a wacky outfit, do something different, take yourself out of your comfort zone, because that's what Venus in Aquarius is asking you to do. And it's asking you to go to different places so that you can meet a variety of different people. If you're able to do that, you'll then maybe find that you'll attract somebody new in your life. You might meet somebody that will become very significant. But also be aware, under this Aquarian influence, you might meet somebody that is very vocal, that has very definite opinions about what they like and dislike. And that might be something that could be a little bit challenging. And on the other hand, it could be very exciting that all of a sudden you've got somebody that makes you think, that makes you sort of, you know, come alive, that, you know, you've been really looking for that stimulating partner. So whichever way you're looking at Pluto and Aquarius, we've got a long time to talk about, a long time to think about it, and a long time to see how it plays out in all the 12 signs and how it's going to affect each and every one of us over the next so many years, over 20 years. So we've got plenty of time to bed in with that. I want to just finish the astrology report with two quick final things. We've got still got Jupiter in Gemini, which will be there until the end of February next year. So this is still affecting sort of the air signs, which is Gemini, Aquarius and Libra, the opposite sign of Sag. So it's sort of like a push-pull situation on trying to get things off the ground. Yes, you might have some grandiose ideas and you go to put them into motion, and then all of a sudden there's a brick wall. It's not necessarily saying it's wrong. It's just sort of saying, let's reassess, let's look at it. Maybe you're a little bit ahead of the game. You know, just make sure that you're sort of in line with what you're hoping to achieve, and great things can happen. And yes, it is flowing onto the other eight signs, but maybe on a lot less degree. I know lots of people at the moment are sort of really looking at what they want to do for 2025. And there seems to be a real shift of all of a sudden of people are becoming quite not so much anxious, but sort of looking at their job situations and sort of saying, am I in the right job? It's a real soul searching time going on at the moment. And I believe that links directly back to Jupiter in Gemini. where we're all starting to sort of look at things and sort of have that light bulb moment and saying, well, am I really happy? Is this what I really want? Yeah, we've all got, you know, COVID in the rear vision mirror. Now we can sort of start to look at the next chapters of our life. And am I really satisfied with the job? Do I want a job where I'm back out amongst the people again? Maybe I'm tired from working from home, working remotely. You know, there's lots of questions that need to be answered at the moment. We're going to wrap it up with Uranus sitting in Taurus. Now, Taurus, it's going to be there till the end of January 2025. So that's coming very close. So for all the earth signs, it's Taurus, Virgo, Capricorn, and the opposite sign of Scorpio. A lot of still sudden, unexpected things can happen, like the bolt of lightning. So be aware. Be aware of what you're verbally sort of saying in your mouth, because, you know, what you're sending out to the universe may just accommodate you, and then you'll say, I didn't really want to lose that job. Well, you shouldn't have whinged about it. So make sure that you know what you're doing. For a number of Earth sign people, it's been a real time of really looking at their personal finances, looking at the things that are important to you, because it is in Taurus, so it's about money and finances and what makes you feel secure, and also looking at the rules that you've lived your life by. And a lot of people have changed during this period of time of this Uranus transit, that they've been sort of, particularly as it's been going retrograde, really sort of had a bit of a shake up there, and it's really surprised them. So, you know, not everything's set in concrete. That's what I want to say to you. So we're going to take our first caller. We've got Cheryl in Mooresville in North Carolina. Are you there, Cheryl?
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you, sweetie. Do you have a question I can answer for you?
Yeah, I was just curious about my career.
Okay, very interesting, Cheryl. I just finished talking about that in the astrology section. Yeah. Look, showing me there for you is that it's maybe not quite precisely the right time to make a change. I'm not saying it's not time to look at it, and I'm not saying it's not time to get prepared and maybe sort of look at, do you need to upskill in any way? Is there any extra thing that you can add that makes you more attractive, makes you stand out head and shoulders above anybody else if you were to decide to start looking for a job? I know this is not a new decision for you. This has been sort of coming in and out for the whole of 2024, has it not?
Yeah.
So from what I'm seeing here is they're showing me that, look, the job that you're in is okay, but it's not making you excited. And it's like, it's time now. It's sort of like, I want to get those juices flowing again. I want something that's going to make me excited to get out of bed of a morning, and the job's not doing that. But what I'm being shown is there's not really a change there before about March. It's like, yes, look, maybe do some extra training, whatever it might be that you feel that can make you sort of stand out head and shoulders above everybody else. But for the moment, I just want you to sort of be comfortable where you are and sort of know that, yes, the winds of change are there, but it's not just on the job front as well. They were also showing me that you've done quite a bit of work on yourself this year as well. So, you know, there's been lots of things there that, you know, whether it's been conscious or unconscious, you've actually sort of streamlined your life. You know, you've got rid of things that are no longer useful. You've sort of kept the things that are, and now you're looking at, do I enhance that or do I just leave it where it is? And it's like, there's no rule that says you've got to do all of one way or all of another way. It's like each individual thing that comes into your mind needs to be sort of addressed in that way. It's like, look at each thing for its own merit. You know, do I keep this? Do I enhance it or do I toss it? You know, and it's like, you'll know exactly what to do when the time comes with situations. But Cheryl, I want to ask you, were you thinking of moving residence or making some changes to the home?
Was I thinking of making some changes?
Yes, or moving, because they were showing me question marks around where you were living.
Not moving, no, but I did just recently quit my job teaching.
Right.
And I was thinking about going into another field.
Yeah, you will go into something else, but I just sort of feel that I want to get you ready for that. It's sort of, to me, you're not quite ready yet. You know, they were showing me the strongest part for the job change was going to be March, and I know that's a long way from December, but I think you'll have, mm-hmm. you know, bits and pieces that you'll do in between. It's sort of like I'm going to try things. you know, I'm not necessarily going to say, well, I'm going to go and be a shopkeeper, or I'm necessarily going to be a librarian. I'm going to dabble my fingers in a lot of different things and find what's right for me. But they were showing me changes in the home too, you know, whether it was moving the furniture around or buying a new couch or whatever. Like, this was all part of the journey to go to where you need to be going. And it's like, you know, if you've got enough money behind you, give yourself that luxury of time to say, I'm just going to have a rest and just see where things go. You know, I don't have to make a decision today. And that was, I think, the important thing. And I'm sure that it wasn't an easy decision to give up teaching, but, you know, you must have felt it was right timing for you, though.
Yeah, it was 26 years, and March is mm-hmm. significant because I can retire in March.
Right. Okay.
I can start drawing that retirement in March. And I have saved up enough for a few months just to kind of sit back and relax and wait.
Yeah, good. But I don't see you retiring, though, even though you might be retirement age in March. I actually did feel you were going to go back into something, but I felt it was more something that you were going to be happy with, like it was going to make your soul sing. It was like, you know, this is not like work to me. This is a pleasure.
Yeah, so I've been applying for airline attendant, a flight attendant.
But you know, to somebody else that might be a chore, but to you it might be a pleasure to be hopping on a plane and serving people and flying all around the place. It's, you know, it's like being on holiday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So exactly. Just, you know, allow yourself some time, Cheryl, to sort of sit back, enjoy the season and see where things take you. But there was certainly, well, that would probably involve some new training. There was certainly new training or learning a new skill around where you were going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. That would definitely require training.
Okay, Cheryl, that's where I've got to leave it. We've only got a certain amount of time on the show. I'm going to speak with Victoria now in Buffalo in New York. Are you there, Victoria?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi. Do you have a question I can answer for you, please?
I don't think I have a question. Maybe what the future is, what's going to happen coming up.
Yeah. Sure. I always ask if there's a question, because usually there's a reason why you phoned into the show, and I want to make sure that we, you know, get to that if there's a specific question. Victoria, the first thing that they're showing me is I feel tired. Have you been feeling really tired recently? Have you? It's like I feel like I'm grabbing myself. Yeah, it's I appreciate it's a busy time of the year and you can't just sit down on the couch and do nothing, but I want to ask you to do that, you know, a few times a day, you know, like listen to your body. If you get to that point, sit down with a cup of coffee and have a few minutes rest and then go again, because everything sort of feels very tired. It's not just physically tired, it's emotionally tired and soul tired. So that just sort of shows me that we're coming to the end of a very, you know, not so much a difficult period, but an ongoing period in your life where there's been a lot of things that you've had to complete and change, you know, particularly in this last 5 years. And it's like the body's saying now, well, I need to have a sit down, you know, like I need to catch my breath. And that's really important that we honour that. Look, I feel 2025 is going to be a much easier year for you than this one's been, because you've done all the hard yards. You've done as much as you can possibly do. And sort of now it's sort of like everything's starting to wind down. They're showing me by about February, it's like I open the door up to sunshine. Now, I can only take it from that you've sort of been feeling like, not so much your life's bad, but it's like I've been struggling through for such a long time and I've been waiting for that ray of sunshine to come in to sort of say, well, this is the new beginning, this is the new opportunities. Well, that is coming around mid to late February. So it's sort of like, you know, if we can sort of get you through this festive period as best we can without draining too much more of your energy, 2025 is going to be sort of so much easier. It's also, they're also showing me that there's an opportunity here, and I'm not saying that you haven't got a partner, but for more love in your life. It's like I feel like I've been deprived of that. Can you relate to that?
1 February is when my birthday is. I've been very tired and struggling because I lost the father to my girls, and I've been doing it by myself for the last 3 years. So, yes, I'm very tired. I don't know what I'm doing,
And I can understand now why they showed me that, like the sunshine. It's like I want to fling the doors open and the sunshine's coming in. Unless anybody's been widowed, they don't understand what it's like, and that, you know, that it is such a struggle and it is hard, and you do everything the best you can to sort of get your daughters through this, but you've also right. got to allow yourself time to heal and grieve and everything like that too. So there's certainly more love coming into your life. Now, I'm not sure whether your late husband is showing me that as in the fact that he's bringing someone forward to bring love into your life. That was how I took it. You know, I felt okay. that there was immense love around you. And, you know, just because he's not physically here on earth doesn't mean he doesn't still love you. He's still with you. He still sees everything and hears everything. It's just he's not here to physically pick up the broom or take the trash out. Right. But he's still around you. But and the last thing he would want is to see you be by yourself for the rest of your life. He would want you to move on. And there's no particular time that is the right time to move on. It's just when it happens. And, you know, he showed, they were showing me from the other side more love coming in. And that's why I said I wasn't sure whether you had a partner or not, because it wasn't, they weren't saying to me there was a new relationship coming. They were just saying that you were going to receive more love, that there was more love coming up around you, and that's a good thing. So I'm going to take it from that. From your birthday then, things are going to start to become a lot easier. You know, it's not something that I can say to you there's a magical time on the calendar when all this becomes easy. There isn't. You know, you go through life at different pockets, and then all of a sudden, you know, it can be 30 years down the track and something happens, and all of a sudden it takes you back to day one. And that's just part of grief. But we learn to deal with it in a way that, you know, we put it somewhere that, you know, becomes sort of comfortable to us. But look, all I can suggest is still honour your late husband. You know, he's always going to be around you. He's always going to be the girl's father. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you are entitled to have some love and some happiness and some adult time back in your life too. And that's what I think is coming from about February. Things are going to get a lot easier than what they were, and it's a good thing, you know. And, you know, set some family traditions down, something to represent your husband at the holiday season, something the girls can carry with them even into their adult life. So I hope that's okay. helped you, but I know that things are going to get a lot easier.
I appreciate it very much. Yes, thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And no, he's always with you, Victoria. He hasn't left you. He's just not here physically. So, and it is a difficult time of the year. Set a place at the Christmas table for him or something, something that the girls can carry on a tradition much later in life. Anyway, that's where we're going to leave Victoria. It's always hard at this time of the year when there's empty spaces at the Christmas table and we're missing people that should be here. And it's particularly hard if you've got little children and they've lost a parent that they don't quite understand. You know, they still want to get excited and be happy about Santa Claus, but at the same time, there's a pain in their heart too that, you know, daddy or mummy's not there anymore, and they want, you know, they want to be whole again. And that's why I sort of suggest, you know, set some traditions down. I did that for my children when they were little and they lost their dad. We had always had a space at the table for dad and a party hat and a bonbon and whatever, and used to make jokes about, you know, we'll give dad Brussels sprouts, he didn't like them, you know, things like that. Make it a bit fun and a bit playful, that then when they do grow up, that they can carry those traditions on if they want to, or it's something that they can look back fondly when they are adults, that how they handled Christmas without the parent. So anyway, this week I want to leave you with another Christmas song. Look, there's so many beautiful Christmas carols out there sung by so many amazing singers, and it's really hard to sort of choose just one song out of the thousands, the millions of songs that are out there, and I have so many of them are my favourites. But I'm trying to bring each week something that maybe is special or unique in some sort of way, or something you might have heard of for a while, or one of your favourite singers that you think, oh, I didn't know they sang Christmas carols. So this week I'm going to be very self-indulgent, and I'm going to say this is for someone really, really special to my heart, somebody that does a lot of work and doesn't get a lot of thank yous, I'm sure, but, you know, really does need a lot of thank yous and is the magical producer of these shows each and every week. So for our dear producer, Dave, this is especially for you. Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Helen Reddy. And I know he's going to be singing very loudly after the show's over with Helen, and we'll all hear him around the world. So don't forget, have yourself a very Merry Little Christmas and enjoy Helen Reddy. And until next week, bye for now.